Welcome here to the Extra Period, only on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. For the Syracuse Silver Knights postgame, you will not find Syracuse Silver Knights postgame anywhere else but through Dan Satora Broadcast Media on WakeUpCallDT.com and also on your Apple Store app and Google Play Store app, SportsDT. That's SportsDT. And you can get the app free from the Apple Store by going straight to this web address, wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. That's wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. And for the Google Play Store, all you have to do is search SportsDT. That's SportsDT. So however you're tuning in, including on iTunes, on the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora podcast, that's also free on iTunes. For however you're listening in, thank you so much for tuning in. Syracuse Silver Knights have been in existence in the MISL, the highest form of indoor soccer in the United States of America. They have been in the league since 2011-2012, now in their third season. For 2013-2014, the Syracuse Silver Knights have clinched their first ever berth in the postseason and will face the reigning champion Baltimore Blast in their first ever postseason berth and opportunity for that MISL championship. Syracuse Silver Knights finished up the regular season against their throughway rivals, their Rochester Lancers, down I-90 in the state of New York. There is no bigger rivalry for Syracuse than that which is against Rochester. And the Syracuse Silver Knights wrapping up the 2013-2014 regular season before heading on to the postseason faced those Lancers. And I had the opportunity to speak with numerous players on the Syracuse Silver Knights. And I'll start with Marcus Chantel speaking on going into the playoffs with a victory instead of a loss.
It's always good to win a game, especially when you play against Rochester, because one of our rivals. I think we didn't have the best game, but it was enough to win the game. I hope we get a good week of practice this week and get ready for the first game against Baltimore, because if you play just like we did tonight, we're going to have a lot of problems.
You say if you play the same way you did tonight, you're going to have a lot of problems against Baltimore. What are some of the issues that you're seeing right now?
The way we play, too slow. You know, sometimes people doesn't make the run. People never move. We just staying. You know, that mentality. Cause we know we don't play off already. And people think they don't have to try hard enough. But every game is a different story. And for now on, it's not going to be in the games.
How do you get the team to kind of come together and know that, yes, you made the playoff game and you had a couple games to go knowing that you're going to be in the playoffs, but now that you're there, now that you're facing Baltimore, how do you get the team to focus being one of the older guys here, one of the veterans, so to speak, on this team?
Like I said, we're going to start in tomorrow, getting ready for the Baltimore game. We just got to practice hard. Talk a lot to the young kids, okay, make them understand this is a playoffs, okay, and we got to play at 100%, not just one game for both games, and this is going to take us to win a championship, and we can do it. If everybody on the same page, if everybody play on hard, we're going to be fine.
Hey, you've played for Baltimore before. What type of game do they typically have? When you look back on their environment and their culture, what do you have to say about Baltimore and how successful they've been and why they've been so successful?
If you take a look at the Baltimore team, they play exactly the same way they played like 5-6 years ago when I played there. So they're super organized. They get everybody behind the ball, and everybody they go up with everybody. Every time they lose the ball, everybody get like 5 guys behind the ball and play good defense. The main thing on this game, especially indoor game, you gotta play defense. In order for you to score, you gotta play defense first.
Now, you obviously had defense toward the end of the game there. It was 17-16. Rochester had a couple chances. You were able to get the ball out. So, obviously, with your effort out there, were you trying to set an example for the guys and show them that, until it's all zeros on the clock, we got to get this, even though you knew you were going to the playoffs?
Not just for the game, but people that got to understand, you got to play until the last minute. You got to play hard. You got to play defense until the buzz the clock. You gotta finish the game strong, no matter what happened. If they're behind two or three goals, you gotta finish the game strong. You gotta stay with the man. You gotta block the shot, and that's the way you're gonna win the games.
Lastly, for you, Marcus, your jersey went out there today, the teal and pink jersey, and I gotta ask you two things. What was the headpiece thing that you were doing out there? And we'll start with that, and then I'll ask you about the jersey.
To be honest with you, I was kind of scared. I was like, oh my gosh, people are probably gonna give like $100 on my jersey. So the only reason I put on my head just to make him feel a little bit better. And I thought people saw that in my head, they're gonna think, oh my god, that looks funny. Let me go get that jersey.
That once again here on the extra period for the Syracuse Silver Knights post-regular season for the Syracuse Silver Knights, here with Dan Totora on Wake Up Call, DT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the only place that you'll find these conversations with the Syracuse Silver Knights. Marcus Chantel talking about his jersey that went up for auction, which goes seamlessly into Vittorio Petrera when I spoke with him about his jersey and if he thought it would go for as much as it did.
I honestly didn't expect my jersey to go that high. But I am a local person, and I do have a lot of friends that come to the game. And once I started to see the bidding go and go, I know the kid that was going to get it, and he said, I don't care how high it goes, I'm going to keep going. So I was surprised, though, it went that high.
What does it mean to you to be able to do these things for the community? I mean, you guys are going into your first playoff season ever in the first 3 years of the Syracuse Silver Knights, but even outside of that, in the community, the Knights have always been out there trying to help the community and do the right thing. So what does it mean to you to be a big part of raising the money that you raised?
Well, it means a lot. It's always good to give back, you know. fans and the people that come watch us, our sponsors, everyone, they do a lot for us, so it's only right that we can give back to them and do things for them. As far as going out in the city or, you know, to businesses and schools and stuff like that and making appearances, and, you know, even for the kids, they enjoy it. So, I mean, it's really all about our fans, like us, pleasing them. So it's a way we can show, like, we're thankful and, you know, just like to, you know, keep getting the repeat fan base and just to get a consistent amount of people here. It's always a good thing. So it's good to give back to them and show that we actually appreciate it.
Your efforts and what you've done this season, what can you say about yourself and what you think about your game and how you've kind of evolved over time?
I could just say I'm still learning the game. Last year I only played in one game, so for me to actually get on and keep playing a lot more this year, I'm learning more and more every time I step on that field. And these guys, like I said before, they're always very supportive. So, I mean, any mistake or anything that I do, these guys are always here to, you know, tell me and, you know, encourage me to do better and, you know, kind of correct me and point me in the right direction.
Your effort as far as being out there and getting more playing time, more experience, what are you taking away from your game, which you've been able to do? I know you talked about last season kind of learning the guys helping you out, but when you look at your game experience and all the injuries that have gone on, do you think that you're one of those guys that can help the team if those injuries come out and start nagging you a little bit in the playoffs?
Oh yeah, I know I can definitely step on the field and be an extra spark for the team. No matter what, I'll do what I can do to help us. So, you know, I'm acquiring a couple injuries myself, but for me to step out there and make an impact and make a difference, it feels really good for myself. And I like that these guys can see that they can count on me. Let's say a person gets injured or someone goes down, that they can say, hey, V, you know, step in, do something, you know, make an impact, and they know that I'll give my best effort to do whatever I can do.
How do you stay focused? I mean, you knew that you had clinched the playoff berth with a few games to go. In this game, talking to Marcus Chantel, who's been here for a while, as you have, has said that he didn't feel like the team did everything that you could have done, knowing that you're already in the playoffs. Now you're going to play against Baltimore, reigning champion. How do you get focused and not just accept the fact that you're in the playoffs and be excited about that, but go and try and win a championship?
Every game matters, whether we were in the playoffs 5 games ago or whether we clinched today. It doesn't matter if it's the first game or the last game. You're going to go into a game focused and basically knowing what you have to do. And a lot of people say, oh, you guys already clinched. This game doesn't mean anything, but it does. I mean, people that come and watch us play, they don't want to come here and watch us just say, oh, you know, we're already in. We'll just take this game lightly. Fans won't appreciate that, and I know the teammates don't. So everyone wants to be on the same page, and they want to know if I'm fighting for this game that everyone else has their back and they're doing the same thing. So it's always a plus when we all come together and we all know, okay, this game means something no matter what. Whether we win or whether we lose, we're going to come in here fighting like it's our first or it's our last game.
And lastly, to go up against Rochester in the three-way series is the team that you see the most. Mm-hmm. And to have that commanding edge in the rivalry to end the season, what does that mean to Syracuse, knowing that this is your biggest rival, this is the team that you see all the time, their fans come here, your fans go there, to know that you got their number this year?
I think it's pretty important that we come out on top, even though, you know, Rochester's been around a lot longer than us as far as the Rhinos and, you know, their outdoor team. So for us to come out after only 3 years being around for having a professional soccer team, I know we had our Salty Dog team, and only lasted a couple of years, but it's important to show the community that, you know, we want to stick around, we want to be here. So for us to have that rivalry and we have the edge on it, I think it does a lot for the people around here locally. And, you know, it'll show people in Rochester, too, that, you know, we want to stick around, we're here to stay, we're not just another team that we're going to come and go.
Vittorio Petrera stating to the Central New York community and surrounding communities that the Syracuse Silver Knights are here to stay, have no intention of going anywhere, and want the community to know that they want to be there, to be in front of you, and to show you what they're capable of. And obviously, in just a mere 3 seasons, they found their way into the postseason. And with any team that is young, I don't care what sport you play, I've covered the gamut from baseball to basketball to football to soccer. When it comes to having a new team, a young team, a team that's learning the game and learning how to play together, the Syracuse Silver Knights in just 3 seasons making it to the postseason says something very, very positive about what Tommy Tanner, the president and head coach of the Syracuse Silver Knights, and his staff are putting together. And I think that, well, I know that the community of Syracuse, New York, Central New York, and the surrounding upstate New York community really needs to hold on to this team and be appreciative of this team, and to never follow the cliche of you don't miss it until it's gone because you don't want it to go. The Salty Dogs made the postseason and in 2 seasons really did good things for the community, and now the Syracuse Silver Knights are here. And to keep them here to stay, they're doing everything they can on the field. And now you as fans need to do all you can off of the field to make sure that you're at those games, supporting the team. If you're a business owner, investing. If you're a fan, paying for those tickets, coming to the games, and supporting the team. And the Silver Knights have given you an opportunity to do more of that by having a playoff game for the first time ever, Friday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the War Memorial. So if you haven't bought your tickets, make sure you do so. You can do that on my website right here on wakeupcalldt.com by calling Anthony at 315-303-7261. That's 315-303-7261. Or you can email Anthony at amiola, A-M as in Michael, E-O-L-A, at SyracuseSilverKnights.com. That's A-M-E-O-L-A at SyracuseSilverKnights.com. Continuing on here on the Extra Period, which you'll find only through Dan Totora Broadcast Media on WakeUpCallDT.com, speaking with Michelle Millwood, who's had an opportunity to win his share of championships in the MISL. He has 4 MISL championships. The last time that he won one with the Baltimore Blast, that's the first team that Syracuse will be facing in the playoffs in order to, if they were to win that round, to get to the finals. So here with me right now is Michelle Millwood. Starting off with where he thinks the team is currently right now, because we had talked, Michelle and I, early on in the season about the environment of the team, about a team being prepared to go up against the teams they need to defeat in order to get an MISL championship. So that's where we start things off, is where this team is in the mind of a veteran.
I mean, I think we completed the first step, which is make it into the playoffs. For me, the playoff comes down to who wants it the most. You know, once you get to that point, it's basically going out there and it's one game at a time. You have 2 games per series to prove yourself. And if you take it one game at a time, anything is liable to happen. So we just have to be confident going into this game against Baltimore. Obviously, the series for the regular season was 3-1, but in every game we were pretty close. So we just have to have that belief that we could go into the first series or the first game and win.
You know Baltimore so well, playing for the team and winning with the team. If you have to had to describe the characteristics of the Baltimore Blast, what would you say they are?
Discipline. You know, well-disciplined, well-coached. They're not going to change anything, whether they're winning or losing. They're going to play the same way, the same tempo from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. So with that said, we just have to match their discipline, match the intensity on the field or outwork them on the field, and maybe we'd be able to rattle some of the cages.
Discipline-wise for this team, where do you feel the Knights are at right now? I mean, you being a veteran, wanting to be a leader on this team throughout the whole season, what have you seen from the Knights to go up against a team that's so disciplined like Baltimore?
I think we're improving. I think it's steps or strides that we have to take. Obviously, from this team, it's guys that's been here for 3 years, and you know the atmosphere hasn't really changed. So it's going to take a little bit more to get to the point where we want to be. I mean, everyone or every good coach will tell you that this game takes a while to learn. It takes 2-3 years to learn the game as much as possible. And considering that the season's pretty short, we only get 24 games a season, you know, it's going to take a little bit longer. But I think overall this year they've done a great job so far. And I think we have an opportunity now to let the league and everyone know that we're here to stay.
When you look at Baltimore in this upcoming matchup, what do you think about not just Baltimore but in general the playoff system, that there is that one game that you get and then one game that's going to be in their house and then you get that little 15-minute extra game? What do you think about the way the playoffs are set up and how everything kind of shakes out in that respect and what you have coming up?
Well, I actually like it. You know, either way, I don't think... I think if it's a one-game series, then it could go either way. You know, again, it's who wants it more, who plays the best that night. I think with a two-game series, with that minute game, you give teams a chance to really express themselves. You know, and if you have a bad first night, you still get a chance to redeem yourself. And even with that, you still get a minute game to see if you can capitalize on whatever mistakes you made before and now make a difference and try to win. So I actually like the format. You know, again, I think it's also a good idea to give the team that has the best regular season wins to choose if they want the first game or not. You know, I think that's just a perk of playing well during the regular season. So, I mean, we just have to deal with it now. Obviously, we get the first game at home. We couldn't ask for anything else because winning the first game is going to put any team, whether home or away, under pressure. So if we could come in Friday night and win that game, now we're forcing them to beat us in that mini game. So now they have to work even harder in that second game to beat us. So hopefully we can win this game on Friday night and then set the tone for whatever else happens during the rest of the playoffs.
Knowing that you not only played for Baltimore, but that Marcus Chantel did as well, and he said when he was there a few years back, even half a decade ago, that he still sees a lot of similarities in the way the Baltimore is. Does that give you an advantage that, I mean, obviously 3-1 they beat you this year, but the games were close, but having you and having Marcus, does that help you as far as the team as a whole to understand who Baltimore is a little bit more when you're talking to some of these younger guys?
Well, I mean, just being there for so long, I understand the system that they play. It's not going to be really up to me. I'm just one piece of the puzzle. It's going to be up to everyone else that's on the team. If they're willing to take instructions and willing to change their game a little bit to win for the team. As I said from the first day I'm here, it's about a team. It's not about one individual act. So if we go into that game and they take whatever Chantel and myself tell them, what those guys are going to do or what we haven't seen yet in film, you know, we'll give ourselves an even better chance to win the game, you know. But that's where the discipline comes in. You know, if it doesn't happen within the first quarter, are we going to change just because it didn't happen? Or are we going to stick with it because we know in the long run it will pay off? And that's one of the discipline that they have that's put them above the grid for the last couple of years. And that's one of the things we have to get to know that. If it doesn't work the first time, that doesn't mean you abandon it. You know, you have to stick with it a little while to see, and over time it will work.
You've seen this locker room happy. You've seen this locker room upset and frustrated. How would you describe the environment right now? Do you feel that when you look around the locker room that there's the environment that you need going forward?
I think we could pick up our intensity a little bit more. I mean, obviously, being in a locker room where the reality of it is we never played to make the playoffs. We played to win championships. So the atmosphere and the intensity was all so high. You know, making the playoffs was just something that we knew we had to do to get a chance to win the championship. You know, a couple of guys here might be a little bit content because they haven't been there before, but that's where the veteran guys come in, and we have to let them know that it's just the beginning of the journey. Getting here is just the start. The journey just begun. You know, we still have four more games. We win four more games, and you're raising the cup. And if you can't put everything into four games, then there's no point in being a professional athlete or being an athlete of any nature. You know, so right now we just have to be a little bit more focused. You know, we have to want it more. We have to show it when we get to practice tomorrow. We have to show it for the entire week. We have to start building the intensity, building good team camaraderie, and make sure that we bring it into the game on Friday night. And hopefully that, With whatever experience we have here and the skills and the ability that we have on this team, we'll be able to get over the hump.
Getting over the hump. And this season, the hump being the reigning champion Baltimore Blast. Syracuse Silver Knights going up against them in their first ever postseason, and they have to get past them to get to that next round and get even closer to the MISL championship. So as they move forward, and Michelle Millwood speaking on so many different things from what he's learned over the years, and I always appreciate his mind because he is that veteran that's been around for a very long time. He knows how to win, and I respect him. I truly do respect him because he speaks the truth, and he is very honest, and he talks about what the team needs to do to continue forward and be successful. And one of their pieces of success that can never go understated is goalkeeper Brian O'Quinn, who came off an injury to come into this season, play the majority of the games for the Syracuse Silver Knights in goal, and help them to be where they are. And even when other teams have scored, the one thing that never shows up enough on a stat sheet that you can't really describe on a stat sheet is all of the opportunities, all of the chances that opponents had against the Syracuse Silver Knights that were negated by Brian O'Quinn playing goalkeeper for the team, somebody who was a backup, someone who had to keep fighting and hope for his opportunity that came when there was injury or fatigue but wasn't the dominant starter. Then he finally got that chance. He got that opportunity to come out onto the field and be the top goalkeeper for the Syracuse Silver Knights, and I believe from watching him play that he's one of the top goalkeepers that you're going to find in the indoor game, because whether you watch every single team or you just watch Brian, there are plays that he makes that truly are remarkable, especially the second chance opportunities that he takes away. When he can block a ball on the right side of the goal and then be on the ground, turn his body quick enough to stop a chance on the left side, that's something that's on Brian. I mean, that's something that obviously he's trained, he learns over time. This is a guy that he knows what he's doing. And I would challenge anyone to tell me that watching Brian O'Quinn in the goal doesn't make you stop and appreciate what the Syracuse Silver Knights have. But this is a guy who's humble. This is a guy who won't toot his own horn. He won't go out there and speak highly of himself, and he critiques himself. Now, the Syracuse Silver Knights won their last regular season game against the Rochester Lancers for this season going into the playoffs. They won 17-16, and two of those late goal try opportunities that they had, that the Rochester Lancers had, were stopped. A three-point goal try was stopped by Brian O'Quinn. Double opportunity try was stopped by him. And at the end of it all, the game was over with Brian O'Quinn negating the Rochester Lancers. Yet, he looked at the game a little bit differently. And this is what Brian had to say about how he felt he performed.
Not actually very happy with the way I played today. Unfortunately, I had a rough probably three quarters. Fourth quarter, thankfully, was able to make a couple of good saves that potentially helped us hold on to that victory. But our offense obviously did the work today to make a win possible. So, But as far as my evolution is concerned, I mean, from year one to today, I feel a lot better about what I do. And I feel like I'm reading the game much better at this point in time in the season. I'm starting to see where, obviously, players want to play balls. So I'm able to cut out passes or cut out board balls a little bit better. And ultimately, the more video you get to watch, the more film ultimately on teams that you see, you get to see, you can see what other players get to do. So I feel pretty good about what Baltimore does. We played them four times, watched video on them, you know, countless times. So to be able to know what their players do in which situations, it puts me in a good spot to obviously know what their preferred preference would be ultimately when they hit shots. So it allows me to be in better places.
In all those Baltimore games, even though they bested Syracuse 3 out of 4 times, a lot of close situations, especially late in the games. What can you say when you look at the characteristics of Baltimore and the offense and what's coming at you? How would you describe them?
They are about as disciplined of a team that you could possibly imagine. Offensively, there's not you're not going to look at one guy that can potentially just rip the defense open and obviously cause us to have problems. It's just a team effort. They've historically, for the last 2 or 3 years, they've had 10 guys that have scored 20-plus points, and they just consistently run their system. They're very systematic. They play in a disciplined, organized way. They try to score goals off of their defensive pressure, actually, so that they don't really work that hard from an offensive perspective to score goals. They actually want to turn you over and ultimately come in 3-on-2 and 2v1 type situations when they turn you over. So for us, the big kicker, obviously the big thing that we're going to be looking for over the course of this week in training is getting the ball to the back, getting the ball out of pressure, and obviously forcing them to beat us 5-on-5 versus in 3-on-2 and 2v1 situations.
When you have those tight situations where there's not a lot in front of you, not a lot of defenders to kind of help you out, how do you feel you've been doing in that 1-on-1 or 2v1 situations where you know the guys are coming down and you got to protect that entire goal? How do you feel you've been responding? I know you said you felt like you had a tough 3 quarters in this last game, not in the regular season, but overall.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. I mean, teams play 3-on-2 and 2v1 type situations in similar ways. So teams like Missouri and Milwaukee do it one way. Teams like Baltimore, ourselves, do it another way. So like I said, watching video and ultimately getting used to what the tendencies are of the team, it allows you to be in better positions and obviously defend them in a different way. So I can force my defenders to be in different places and obviously help me know which way the ball is going to be depicted. So for me, that's the key, and I feel like I'm getting better and better at that. And obviously, the more we study and the more we watch teams, we hopefully can do better as a team.
When you look at the locker room and the guys that you spent so much time with this season and even before this season, this is the first year in the playoffs. Where do you feel the team is at? Do you feel that there's a complacency of just making it, that there's that want to win a championship somewhere in the middle? Where do you feel the environment is right now?
There's definitely an energy and a flow. I mean, obviously, we know that we've had some great opportunities against Baltimore this year. We've played them very, very tight. If you look back at year one, year two, there's been games where they've put a hurting on us at times, and this year that hasn't been the case. So we feel like we've leveled the playing field very well. We feel like our chances of obviously success against them are very good. I mean, we obviously only won 1 of 4, but that doesn't mean that we weren't in each of the games and that the final possession in each game didn't ultimately determine the end result. So that puts us in a very good place from a confidence perspective, and it's one at a time. Do I think we're ready to win a championship? No, because we need to be ready to beat Baltimore, and that's the key. If we can do that, then we can start focusing on who the next opponent will be, whether it be Milwaukee or Missouri. But right now, it's just one step at a time, and we have to pay attention to not being a championship team, but being on a team that can beat Baltimore 2 out of 3 times.
If it does come down to that last possession, as it has so many times, and let's just say Syracuse is up by 1, and they're coming down, and they're looking for anything, because obviously a 2-point goal will do it for them. How confident are you in your game and the tape that you've watched and what you've studied that you'll be able to handle some of those situations maybe better than you have in the regular season?
Yeah, I feel very good about it. Our team defense has improved dramatically this year in comparison to last year. I think we're probably a point or two down from points per game average than we were in years past. And obviously we've played them very, very tough. So I feel very good about it. I feel good about our defensive players, guys like Darren Toby, Bo Yelovich, Nelson, Domenico, Chantel, they've been playing a fantastic job. So, you know, if it's down to that one possession and obviously their man on our man, I feel very good about our opportunity there. And if they are able to get a shot off, I know that those guys will make it a shot that is challenged and contested, which makes my job a lot easier and can basically force and filter the ball into a certain place in the goal, which allows me to stand there, be ready for it, and obviously take it for the team.
And lastly, you are a very calm guy when you're off the field, very relaxed. But when you're on the field, what kind of fires you up, or do you ever feel that inside? Because you seem to be someone that keeps your poise, doesn't ever really look flustered or shaken by anything. So what's going on inside of Brian O'Quinn that maybe we're not seeing?
I would agree with you. What you see is what you get. It's more of a calm demeanor. I learned, obviously, playing the indoor game that you're going to give up goals. Like tonight, obviously, I think I gave up 8 of them. If I get flustered or upset about giving up 8 goals, then obviously the next one can come very easily. So keeping that focus, keeping that that mentality that you just don't want to let the next one in is critical. If you're a goalkeeper and you get all hell bent, unfortunately, upset about one goal, your confidence will get shot, and obviously more goals will just pile in. So it's very important in this game to do that. What gets me excited, what gets me energized is obviously the individuals in front of me. When they're working hard, I'll get energized and pumped up and excited for them, and when they're blocking shots and doing the things that we need from a team defense perspective, I'll give them a high five and cheer and scream at them from a positive perspective, and vice versa. If we have a quarter like we did to start the third quarter tonight and guys aren't doing the right thing, when the timeouts come and we have the opportunity to talk, I'll let that guy know, or whomever I think needs a talking to, have a talking to. And that's when I get energized or excited one way or another.
Do you feel like they respect you when you take them aside and say, listen, this isn't working for us, we need to change something, or I'm going to need a little bit of help in this area? Do you feel that you get a positive response more often than not?
Yeah, it's my responsibility to obviously watch tape, watch film, and obviously dictate what our defense is going to do. That's the responsibility basically put on me as a goalkeeper. So it's important for me to know what changes we need to make or what adaptations we need to make throughout a course of a game to obviously get the result we need. So I think it's well received when feedback is given. Screaming for screaming's sake doesn't do anything. Screaming with appropriate direction and obviously a way to make it better is generally well received by our team as a whole.
Screaming for screaming's sake doesn't do anything. If only Bobby Knight could have listened to something like that. But with the Syracuse Silver Knights goalkeeper, Brian O'Quinn, that's a big statement. Screaming for screaming's sake doesn't do anything. And he feels that when he does talk to the team, screaming with a purpose, when there's something that he needs to say, that the way that he comes across, taking it upon himself and saying, it's my job to be able to talk with them, it's my job to come across the right way, that he feels it's well received. And with the Syracuse Silver Knights having their first double-digit winning season ever in their 3-year history, having won 9 games and 8 games, and now in the double digits going into the postseason, you could see that it is working, that the team is gelling, and that Brian O'Quinn is a part of that, just as Captain Nelson Santana is a part of that. Nelson being with the team since the beginning, since opening game, the game that I had the privilege and the honor from Tommy Tanner and the Syracuse Silver Knights to not only be the head commentator, but the PA announcer, doing both jobs at the same time and realizing just how different they are when you're trying to do them both together. In that victory that Syracuse had over the Rochester Lancers in the final 30-some-odd seconds in the game, I give a lot of credit to the Syracuse Silver Knights in that moment being one of the biggest moments ever in their history. And then in this season, having president and head coach Tommy Tanner tell me about other bests that he saw from the team, whether it be how they played defensively, whether it be how they played in a half. He's seen them grow, and the community has seen them grow. And you have an opportunity to continue to see them grow with them advancing to the postseason by getting your tickets to the Friday, March 7th game at the War Memorial in Syracuse, New York at 7:30 p.m. Make sure you do that. And keeping with Nelson Santana, the captain of the team, I had a conversation with him as well after the end of the regular season, defeating the Rochester Lancers, having the edge in the three-way series. And the first question was, Nelly, are you coming back? Will you be ready for the playoffs against the Baltimore Blast, as so many fans I know are wanting to ask this question as well?
Yes, Tommy spoke with me and told me about that issue we're having today for me to play today. And the issue was, you know, the little scuffle that we had with Salas against Rochester at Rochester, like the last game we played. So he was kind of afraid that he probably was going to come after me or trying to hurt me in some way. So Tommy kind of made the decision, like, sit me down and save me for the playoffs. But, you know, like, I came here, I was ready to go. I wanted to play really bad, you know, help my team as much as I could. But, you know, it's coach's decision, so you got to respect it.
What is it about Salas that there is kind of that bad blood? Is it just Rochester-Syracuse? Is it something from before? I mean, where does that come from?
Oh, no, I don't think it's a bad blood. It's just, you know, I guess it's two players competing at the highest level in indoor. And you know, sometimes you get hit here and there, and then attitudes flare up and everything. But I'm the type of person that if it happens in one game, it stays in the game and it stays in the field. You know, there's some of the players that they take it to outside the field, take it to the next game and everything. So, you know, it's a brand new game, and you know, a lot of people were telling me, you know, just be careful. But, you know, if I would have played today, I mean, I don't know what would have happened, but, you know, I was going to try to keep my cool as much as I could, because I know, you know, from what I heard, that he was trying to do something like that. But you know what? Like I said, you know, I give him a lot of respect. You know, I've been playing against him a lot of years. But, you know, hopefully he, you know, he can just let it go and move on, you know. I'm the type of person that holding a grudge, it doesn't get you anywhere.
When you look at this team, I mean, you've been here since day one. This is the first time getting into the postseason. What can you say about how the Knights have evolved, and if you feel that you're prepared for what's to come coming up in the playoffs?
Well, we have evolved huge. You know, I think the first year, you know, it was our beginning year. The second year was, you know, getting there. You know, we missed a couple. You know, we missed a couple goals to put us in the playoffs to win games. But this year, you know, I think the addition of Mitchell Millwood helps a lot, you know. He's the type of person that is very competitive, and he tells it how it is, you know, at halftime, during the game, between games, whatever, you know. So a lot of people respect that, you know. I'm the type of person that, you know, I can just talk to you one-on-one and then kind of help you out here and there. But, you know, he's a little more vocal, you know, he's a little bit more aggressive into talking to players. But, you know, that's who he is, and then I think that guys are responding really well. And then coming into the playoffs, we could win it. This I have a big. We have a big chance to do that. And the thing is, we just have to pass the first round. And I think if we pass the first round, a lot of the guys are gonna be confident. And I think we can sneak one in, playing whoever we play in the final. But we gotta first of all go first round on playoffs. If we win it, I think we have a chance of winning it, the whole team.
Baltimore, you've played them four times. You lost three of those games, but they've been tight games, close-fought games. How would you describe Baltimore as far as their characteristics and what type of team that they are?
Baltimore is a very patient team. They like to hold the ball. They like to, you know, put the ball, pass the ball against the boards, you know, people making runs. The main thing is, like, five people behind the ball and then double team as much as they can. I think they're very successful since many years. But, you know, we have a lot of good friends in Baltimore, and then, they, after games we talk and everything, and they just don't like playing us because we're physical, we run a lot, we make them work hard. You know, they're that type of team that likes to keep the ball, you know, and the other team sits back, and, you know, that's how they win games. But we take it to them, and some of the players say that it's just too much for them because we play so aggressive, so fast, and, you know, everyone in every position that we have this year, everybody is really good. So it's not like, okay, the second line is coming in, or, you know, this guy, we can take it to this guy. No, it's just everyone's on the same page.
Captain of the Syracuse Silver Knights, Nelson Santana, stating that he will be back for that Baltimore Blast game in the postseason Friday, March 7th at 7:30 in the War Memorial in Syracuse, New York. Get your tickets, folks, right now. You can call the Syracuse Silver Knights. All this information is on wakeupcalldt.com on the Knights on Call page. You can get to that page by going to the More tab on wakeupcalldt.com and scrolling down to Nights on Call, and I'll give you the number right now so that you have it. That number to call for Anthony Miola is 315-303-7261. That's 315-303-7261. You can email Anthony at amiola, A, M as in Michael, E-O-L-A, at SyracuseSilverKnights.com. That's A-M-E-O-L-A at SyracuseSilverKnights.com to get your tickets as soon as possible to make sure that the Syracuse Silver Knights have a sellout crowd in the War Memorial for their first ever postseason game. You are making history, Central New York. Be a part of it. Don't sit at home and wait. Don't say, I should have. Don't look back on it and say, I wish I did. Go to the game. Syracuse Silver Knights have fought hard for you since they came into existence in the 2011-2012 season. The best thing you could do is fight hard for them by getting in the stands after getting your tickets, sitting in the crowd and being loud for the Syracuse Silver Knights, who face the reigning champion Baltimore Blast, hoping, working, trying, and to what many fans are excited about, hopefully doing, is getting that victory over the Baltimore Blast, winning the series, and heading one step closer to their first ever MISL championship. The MISL is the highest form of indoor soccer professionally in the United States of America. Your Syracuse Silver Knights are a part of it, and they're looking to take that trophy and put it right in Central New York. Make sure you're there supporting them, cheering them on, and being a part of the game by getting your tickets for the Syracuse Silver Knights' first ever postseason game. You will be a witness of history in the making. Not reading a book, not looking through the paper the day after, not turning on and trying to figure out what happened. You will be a part of history live, sitting there, being there with the Syracuse Silver Knights, who have been there for you from the beginning. Don't miss out on this event. Get your tickets to the Syracuse Silver Knights' first ever postseason game, Friday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. Make sure you're there. I thank all of the Syracuse Silver Knights team for their support of everything that I do with Dan Totora Broadcast Media, and I thank the Syracuse Silver Knights for helping me to be a part of their history from opening day all the way up to this first ever postseason game. I can't thank you enough. This is the Extra Period. You're on WakeUpCallDT.com, the only place that you'll find the Syracuse Silver Knights in the Extra Period after the game, after the regular season. For exclusives with the Syracuse Silver Knights, there is no other place to go than right here on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. I'm Dan Totora for Dan Totora Broadcast Media. God bless you, be well, and I can't wait to talk with you again.